Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Thursday, it's March 21st, 2024. Great to be with you, and we are moving into Palm Sunday weekend. And today, after the news and the weather and all that good stuff, Father Mitch Pacwa, the one, the only, is going to be joining us for our Cultural Connection section on CC. CC with CC and Father Mitch. We are going to be talking about how do we make the most of the remaining days of this beautiful Lenten season moving into Holy Week. And the next week, of course, he'll join us on Holy Thursday, God willing, a week from today. I can't even believe we're talking about Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday. Lent has gone by very, very quickly. So looking forward to chatting with Father Mitch, and that's coming up, of course, at 15 minutes past the hour. And then we'll be revisited by our friends from Cross Catholic Outreach. You know, we're all about prayer and almsgiving and fasting during Lent, and part of that really can be tied in very easily with the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And this is where our friends at Cross Catholic Outreach come in and help us do that so well. Their website is crosscatholic.org, and they're one of our Ave Maria Radio underwriters, and they do such a great job of giving us ways to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. We are going to be talking about their program, which is entitled Wells of Salvation. It's a clean water challenge, and we'll be joined by their president, Michelle Sangarino, the president of Cross Catholic Outreach. So that's our day today, for a Thursday. Father Mitch Pacwa, the one, the only, and of course, Michelle, as we mentioned, Sangarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach. I don't know about you, but we know it's spring on the calendar, right? But in Michigan, I'm not sure where you live, but our temperatures are not exactly, how do we say, spring-like. Last time I checked, we had 20 degrees out there in Michigan land, and it's not getting much warmer, only going up to about 28. Now, the good news is that we're not alone in this. If you're looking at the National Weather Service forecast, we have a developing Gulf Coast storm that could bring heavy rain and flooding, and this is in the south, into the mid-Atlantic, late until today, into this weekend. Meanwhile, and here's where the cold weather comes in, heavy snow possible from the northern plains into the northeast, and more heavy snow expected to overspread eastern Montana. And that's until late Saturday. And then it's going to expand into the northern plains and the upper Midwest by the end of the evening, looks like Palm Sunday, so Sunday night. So that's what it looks like. Even though spring has technically sprung in many parts of the country, it does not feel like that. So be safe out there. We'd like to keep you informed of the news and the weather so you get all your information right here. We do have, speaking of information, a ton of news to get through. It's almost 4 minutes past the hour, so let's do that right now. It is a Thursday, and you are listening to Catholic Connection, of course, a co-production of both Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Let's get started, shall we? Joe Biden is calling for taxpayer-funded abortions nationwide and more funding for a program that funnels money to Planned Parenthood facilities. This he mentioned in his 2025 budget plan recently unveiled. As Catholic News Agency explains, a $7.3 trillion budget would eliminate two safeguards that prevent taxpayer-funded abortions, the Hyde Amendment and the Dornan Amendment. Both amendments have been included in the federal budget bills for years, but Biden's proposal leaves them out completely. CNA also reporting the plan would also increase funding for the Title X Family Planning Program, which funnels millions of dollars to the abortion provider, again, Planned Parenthood. Biden's message, CNA reports, accompanying his budget, lists defending and protecting so-called reproductive rights and health care in his section about investing in the American people. It criticizes pro-life laws passed since the Supreme Court overturning of Roe v. Wade, and also urges congressional action on legislation restoring the protection of Roe v. Wade in federal law, which would mandate legal abortion nationwide. The U.S. is working on evacuating Americans stuck in Haiti by helicopter. That, according to the State Department, This as Haiti is experiencing a rise in even more gang violence. The State Department has said there's almost 1,000 Americans in Haiti. The helicopters are expected to make multiple trips from Port-au-Prince to the Dominican Republic. Meanwhile, while encouraging Haitian leaders to find a solution to the crisis and restore peace and security for all, the bishops there, as Lisa Zangarini reports from Rome, saying the church will not join the Transitional Council, a council the Caribbean community has charged with selecting an interim prime minister to replace the former prime minister, Ariel Henry.
The nomination of the Transitional Council has been delayed by infighting as group and party leaders have bickered over potential candidates. As Haiti awaits the installation of the council, the bishops insisted on urging all Haitians not to fuel violence because they said any destruction causes Haiti to regress or delay any progress. Despite Prime Minister Henry stepping down, gang violence continues to ravage the country. In the face of the ongoing suffering of the Haitian people, the Episcopal Council and the Confederation of Religious of Latin America and the Caribbean, along with Caritas, have joined to call for a Continental Day of Prayer to be held on March the 22nd under the slogan, "We are all with Haiti." We know that the solution is not directly in our hands, they said. However, we are convinced of the strength and power of prayer, which also brings us closer and expresses our solidarity with the Haitian people. I am Lisa Zangarini.
Meanwhile, officials and faith leaders in New York City are now calling for action as well to help the people in Haiti. The situation on the ground, as you just heard, extremely volatile, with gang violence plunging the Caribbean nation into major chaos.
There are immediate things we can do right now. Stop the flow of guns, stop the deportation, give the expertise on how to stabilize the community, and give the resources.
That's Mayor Eric Adams of New York City joining faith leaders at City Hall yesterday, calling on the federal government to step up efforts in helping with that chaos. He says New York City has the largest Haitian population of any city in the U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's had a lengthy conversation with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Louisiana Republican telling reporters he reiterated strong support for Israel and strong disagreement over Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's criticism of the Prime Minister that came out last week.
We think it is not only foolhardy, it's dangerous for him to be trying to suggest how Israel should run its domestic affairs in the midst of their conflict. So you'll see the House Republicans continue to stand forward and reiterate our support for Israel at this very critical time.
Schumer last week calling Netanyahu an obstacle to peace in the Israeli-Hamas war and also called for new elections in Israel, the comment sparking backlash from many leaders. Jonathan Rumi, the actor who plays Jesus in the popular TV series The Chosen, will be speaking at the spring 2024 commencement at the Catholic University of America. That's what the school announced yesterday. As Catholic News Agency explains in a statement released yesterday, the university president said countless numbers of people have had their lives changed for the better by Jonathan Rumi through his portrayal of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say Jonathan's work is a testament to how Catholics can use their God-given talents to deliver messages of hope and to bring people closer to God. He also said he looks forward to welcoming him to Catholic U. Besides playing Jesus in The Chosen, which is now in its fourth season, Rumi has been featured on the Hollow Prayer Meditation app and has served as a ministry leader, also a keynote speaker at the annual March for Life back in 2023 in Washington, and has more than 1.4 million followers on Instagram. A manhunt is underway after three Idaho officers were shot during an inmate escape yesterday. The Department of Corrections officers were ambushed while transporting inmate Skylar Mead out of a Boise hospital. As he was being put back in a van, a suspect opened fire, hitting two officers. During the chaos, another officer was shot as a result of friendly fire. All of the officers are recovering at a local hospital, but the manhunt continues. A federal appeals court is deciding whether the Texas law allowing local cops to arrest anyone they believe is in the country illegally to go into effect. The Biden administration sued to block it, and yesterday at a summit, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott said his state desperately needs the measure.
Texas has a right to defend ourselves, and we will use that authority to declare an invasion and fight back against that invasion.
In the hearing yesterday, lawyers at the Justice Department pushing back against suggestions that they're failing to secure the southern border. The Justice Department argues that immigration enforcement is the sole jurisdiction of them, the federal government. It's unclear whether the Fifth Circuit could issue their ruling or when they will. The Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates unchanged.
Markets believe we will achieve that goal, and they should believe that, because that's what will happen over time. But we stress over time.
Speaking at a press conference, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell saying the policy rate is likely at its peak, also said the Fed is committed to its 2% inflation goal, which is crucial to a sustainably strong labor market. Powell adding that while inflation has eased, it's still too high. Meanwhile, higher inflationary data haven't changed its overall downward trend despite major points. The consumer price index and personal consumption expenditure rate rising in both January and February. Powell calling it a sometimes bumpy road toward 2%. Florida Senator Mark Rubio reportedly being added on the list of potential candidates to be former President Donald Trump's pick for VP. Multiple sources say Rubio is gaining traction, although he is far from alone. Trump said the number was around 15 last week in an interview with Newsmax. And Michael Kastner tells us SpaceX's giant Starship rocket could be flying again by early May.
The 400-foot-tall rocket had its third test flight last week from the SpaceX launch site in South Texas. CEO Gwynne Shotwell said this week that they're still analyzing data from the test and will get back to flight hopefully in about 6 weeks. The Starship is the world's most powerful rocket and is designed to eventually take people back to the moon and to Mars.
Amazon and other retailers under investigation by the Federal Communications Commission for the alleged sale of wireless signal jammers. Those are devices that block or disrupt signals used by other electronics, such as cell phones and GPS units, and they're illegal to sell and advertise in the U.S. The FCC did not specify which other retailers are included in the investigation. And Jennifer Polsoni tells us each and every taxpayer should be aware they do have rights.
CPA Randy Samuelson notes the Taxpayer Bill of Rights adopted in 2014 groups into 10 broad categories rights that are detailed in the tax code. While people may refer to the Bill of Rights to help navigate disputes with the IRS, Samuelson points out other benefits. He says if you receive an audit from the IRS, your Bill of Rights says you have 30 days to respond. He also adds taxpayers have the right to get additional time to get paperwork in order and to potentially amend a return in case there was a mistake.
The right that you have time, you're not going to jail. and the fact that you can request a payment plan.
So when you're doing taxes this season, know you have the right to be informed of IRS decisions and receive clear explanations of your outcomes, all easily accessible and laid out.
There is a full taxpayer bill of rights that's on the IRS.gov website.
More viewers are turning on streaming services for entertainment, news, and sports, according to a new Nielsen report called The Gauge. February streamer viewership was at its highest in 6 months. It found that over a third of all TV viewership is on streaming platforms. That compared to just 27% on cable and 23% on broadcast. That's 37% share of streaming services watchers, the highest since August of 2023. And Roy O'Neill tells us for the first time in its history, the World Happiness Report does not list the U.S. among the top 20.
The U.S. ranks 23rd this year after coming in 15th a year ago. Gloomy Americans under 30 are dragging down the numbers, though people over 60 put the U.S. in the top 10. For the seventh year in a row, Finland is the happiest country overall. People under 30 think Lithuania is a laugh. Those over 60 put Denmark on the top of the happiness list that's produced by Gallup and the Oxford Well-Being Center.
Well, we hope you're happy today, but more importantly, joyful, as in an acronym JOY, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, because when you put Jesus first, it makes you happy and joyful. So there you go. Coming up right after the break, we're going to be chatting with, as we always do, with our very own Father Mitch Pacwa, host, author, scripture scholar, pilgrimage leader, and so much more. Cultural connections with Father Mitch. We're going to be talking about making the most of the rest of Lent, leading into, of course, Holy Week right around the corner, if you can believe it or not. And then our friends at Cross Catholic Outreach helping us with the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, giving us great ideas on how we can make a difference and take care of the most vulnerable in our own backyards, but also around the world as well. It's not as challenging in terms of outreach as you might think. They've got some great ideas that make it very easy to make a difference. So appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. More great programming coming your way. It's 15 minutes past the hour, and we're glad you're here. It's springtime. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters, April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Okay, so like, when did it get to be almost Palm Sunday weekend? I have no idea. It just went by so quickly. And if you're feeling like I'm feeling and thinking that, as we say in Italian, mezza mezza, half and half, Lent could have been better. Well, we have someone to the rescue. His name is Father Mitch Pacwa, who joins us every Thursday for Cultural Connections. And Father, I think a lot of us, I don't know, maybe I'm unique, but I think there's times during Lent when we just think we're not doing everything we had hoped to do. And then we tend to sometimes think, well, does it really matter? Should I keep trying? But of course it matters, because the Lord always welcomes us back as long as we have a contrite heart. So in your experience as a priest, what's the best way to make the most of the time we have remaining in Lent, do you think? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Good to be with you. There are a number of things. First of all, getting concerned at this point is like being, nervous about how Ben-Hur is going to end, and you're only at the part where they're in the shipwreck. You still have a long way to go. The race, better yet, even the racetrack, because, you know, when the great horse race is going, say, oh, I don't know if this is going to work out well. No, you follow up and finish up. One of the most important things to keep in mind is that the high point of Lent is next week. So you get to that key element, which is the celebration of Holy Week. One thing to do, I know that we're doing this at our parish and many parishes around the country. You still have time to get to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to wait until Holy Saturday. There's so much going on, and I know a lot of priests are really busy with a lot of great things that have to be done at this time of year. So try to get to confession and say, well, Father, I got to go now. I said, wait, I've got the Holy Week liturgy starting in 5 minutes. Get to confession now. That'd be one key thing. Now, of course, a great way to spend this part of Lent is doing a good examination of conscience before you go. And really look to your time at confession as confessing your sins rather than looking to do counseling. There may be a need for some serious counseling, But, you know, again, this is a busy season, and you're not the only one in need of confession. So try to postpone the counseling part and do the confessing part. Do a good examination of conscience. You can, if you don't have one, that, you know, you say, well, I don't know what to confess. You can go even online, and you'll see examinations of conscience. Take that time right now. That's a great way to prepare to bring Lent to an end. A second and extremely important part of this next week in particular is getting to the Holy Week liturgies. These are the most important liturgies of the liturgical year. And, you know, our churches tend to have a lot of people, but especially on Holy Thursday, where we recall both the institution of the Eucharist and the washing of the feet. That is one of the most powerful liturgies of the year. Prepare your family to be there. Don't say, well, look, there's nothing on TV tonight. Let's go to church. no, you know, prepare yourself to go there. And you can get the readings online. Use the readings for that liturgy for your own prayer time and meditate on that. Secondly, on Good Friday, you have a couple of options. One is, you know, first determine to make Good Friday a day of special prayer. You know, you can look in your diocese, I'm sure, and find out if there are any Tre Ore services. This is the service of reflections on the seven last words of Christ. It's usually held between noon and 3 o'clock, and it's meant to be a mini retreat. You can plan to do a little mini retreat that day. And then at 3 o'clock, people really ought to, you know, take time to be in church. That is, at 3 o'clock, we celebrate the death of Christ. And that's, by the way, that's 3 o'clock in the Roman Rite. If you are in one of the Eastern churches, then go check the schedule for the liturgies at your church. My parish, for instance, being a Maronite parish, is having a service at 8:30 in the morning, and then we have the burial of Christ at night. In the Roman Rite, it's 3 o'clock to about 4:30. Whichever church you're going to, and even if you are a Roman Catholic who went to the Roman Church celebration, you can still go to one of the Eastern churches in your area if you can get in, and they are packed. But it's worth being there for that, because these are beautiful liturgies that celebrate the anguish of Christ's death and burial. And we do well to be there. So I would urge you to come there for any of the church. And remember, if you are a Roman Catholic, you can go to any of the Eastern churches for their services, as well as the Roman Church. So those would be some of the things. And, of course, you know, you'll see when you get to church, Palm Sunday's a big day. Lots of people come. But you're going to hear a lot of Scripture. We read the whole Passion. I believe in the Roman Rite, the Passion of Mark is read this year on Palm Sunday. And what you can do in the days in between or before Palm Sunday, you can start taking a look at the various readings and use that to for your prayer time to contemplate the sufferings of Christ at this time of year. And there's so much. It's like going to this enormous Bible buffet where you have so much read, and you cannot eat everything on the buffet unless, of course, you bring a teenager. But neither can you absorb everything that is offered to you in the reading of the gospel, you know, of the passion. So break it down into smaller pieces. That would be a,
those are great suggestions. It's very practical. Yeah, very practical. I'll take a break, Father, but very practical. And I think not to give up, as you said earlier, because there's so much left in this beautiful season. And my spiritual director always told me and still tells me to get to church early with your Magnificat, your devotional, and do the readings before the Mass. And I think in the case of the Triduum, you have an opportunity to do that many occasions, but break it down, as you said. It's very powerful. More with Father Mitch on Making the Most of Lent when we come back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science. A knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in the most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
What is the life of our heart? The Catholic Catechism answers, prayer is the life of the new heart. It ought to be the source of our animation at every moment, but we tend to forget the one who is our all. The fathers of the spiritual life in the Deuteronomic and prophetic tradition say that prayer is a remembrance of God often awakened by the memory of the heart. We are to remember God more often, says the Catechism, than we draw breath. We cannot, however, pray at all times if we have not learned to pray at specific times. The tradition of the Church proposes morning and evening prayer, grace before and after meals, the liturgy of the hours, Sundays centered on the Eucharist, the cycle of the liturgical year with its great feasts as the basic rhythms of the Christian's life of prayer. There are three major expressions of prayer: vocal, meditative, and contemplative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 28 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You know, Father Mitch joins us every Thursday talking about all the great opportunities to learn. Well, speaking of learning, we have all kinds of online learning series that are also available through EWTN, including In His Sandals, Discover the Beauty, Truth, and Goodness of the Church. With the EWTN online learning series, you can delve into the riches of the faith and grow closer to the Lord with free videos and study guides and so much more. Enroll in the courses today at learningseries.ewtn.com. Okay, Father, I have a question. What do you think about the idea? We were discussing this during the break. I love the Good Friday services. They're very powerful, and I usually go right at noon for the Stations of the Cross, then stay, obviously, till after 3 o'clock. But then once you get home, making it a day of just, you know, quiet, you know, a little bit more low-key because of what it represents on Good Friday. What are your thoughts?
Well, there are a number of things. I've known families who, you know, turn off the television for the day. Now, here'd be one exception. You know, you have a lot of people who are homebound, and they can't get to church. So, you know, making available for them the opportunity to participate. That's one of the things EWTN will be doing throughout Good Friday.
Right.
Having all kinds of, including, we're going to broadcast our Good Friday morning liturgy at my parish, because most people have never, it's a rite distinguished for the Maronite Church to have this particular service called the Blessing with the Veil. And so this is something that we want to make available. But I think, you know, apart from taking time to look at elements of prayer, I think to lay low on that day from media and entertainment and things like that, and use the day for quiet prayer. Now, and to do so especially by going to church. This would be a great thing for folks. Now, some people, you know, think, well, I can just, you know, stay at home. Well, if you do that, if you just say, well, I'll just be on my own and, you know, I don't want to go to church and stuff, then you join the 10 apostles who stayed away from the cross as well. I don't think that's a good meditation to participate in, to be like the ones who had denied Jesus and run away, including St. Peter, the Pope of the time. That's not what we do. Some people do. I don't recommend it. You know, this is a time for us to be, you know, together as a church community. And I think it'd be very important to be there with everybody else and participate in the beauty and the drama. That's one of the other things, too. These liturgies are among the most dramatic of the liturgical year, you know, to participate in all these different ceremonies, and it is meant to help draw us into the experience of Christ. This is a very, very good thing for us to do throughout this time of Lent, and I want to strongly urge everybody to be there. You yourself will be made better by it, mm-hmm. reflecting yeah. on what Jesus Christ has done. And with all the nonsense going on in our society, reflecting on Jesus going through his sufferings and his attitude towards his suffering is really going to do a lot of good. And, you know, we live in a time where there are awful lot of whiners out there, something my mother did not appreciate from her children, and I don't think God appreciates from us. And then to remember there are other people, including many Catholics, for whom there's real suffering going on. Think of the poor folks who are stuck in Haiti.
I was just going to say Haiti, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
great point.
But also the Christians of Jerusalem who have very limited ability to do much celebration of, you know, these great feasts. They've got the Holy Sepulchre Church right there. And many of them, the Christians who live in Bethlehem, are not allowed to even go there. And, you know, plus the terrible situation for the Christians and Muslims in Gaza. I mean, there's a lot of real suffering. And by entering into these liturgies on Good Friday and on Holy Thursday, and I almost forgot one thing that we do in this diocese, which is they need a bus because, you know, this is a mission diocese in Alabama. We're a fairly small minority. 3% of the state is Catholic. So we're doing on buses and cars. cars what we do at home, namely go to seven churches. And on Holy Saturday, on Holy Thursday evening, after the liturgy, go and make a visit at seven different churches. Some people do it as a, I just load up a bunch of the seminarians or, you know, family and friends. And in Chicago, we could walk to the churches. Here, you can't do that. We'd be over in Pentecost by the time we got up to seven churches. They're so far apart. But we can do it in other ways and adapt. That's a wonderful tradition for being with our Lord and reliving, entering into his agony in the garden by going to be with him. Could you not stay with me an hour,
1 hour
to pray?
Yeah.
You know, to do that on Holy Thursday is another traditional and beautiful way to celebrate. And many of the churches are so glad to have people come. Right. You know, they set it up. They set up beautiful side altars. They used to compete for beauty to remember Christ's agony in the garden. And, you know, the old-time Polish and Italian and other ethnic churches just did wonderful things, as well as, you know, in some churches they set up a tomb. We'll do that. The Maronite churches mm-hmm. all do that. Many of the other churches, I know in the old Polish churches in Chicago, they would have men dressed as Roman soldiers standing guard at the tomb. And all night long.
Yeah.
It's just, these are wonderful ways to enter into this mystery of Christ's death so that then Easter Sunday is a great
means so much more meaningful. Father, great suggestions. I knew you would have tons of stuff to talk about. And also, I think if you are going to consume the media, especially on Good Friday, do it with things that are well put together, such as our live broadcast of the Stations of the Cross from Rome, which is one of my favorites. We'll be right back on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch. I have more than a hunch. That's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is, discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
Wrapping up a Thursday morning, 39 minutes past the hour. You're listening to EWTN. Check us out online, EWTN.com. And, you know, one of the things that we can do, and Father Mitch was expressing this so beautifully, and this is really another extension of Lent, and that is applying the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And those folks who do it so well include our friends at Cross Catholic Outreach. Michelle Sangarino is the president. And Michelle, this is something a little bit different because normally when we chat, we're talking about gift baskets, which are super important, or helping with food. But this is really another way to help with the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Father Mitch was just talking about so many people impacted by various crises in the world. And this is really a basic, a need for water, which is something that's so crucial to our survival. So what is the Wells of Salvation program? Tell us about it. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Teresa, for having us. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak about the Wells of Salvation and cross-Catholic outreach. We just really felt God calling us during this Lent time of prayer and fasting and all almsgiving to take a big step and to begin to provide more and more water for families. So this Lent, we are working on a campaign to provide 109 wells in Zambia and Malawi. And you know, our model is coming alongside the church, right? The priests, mm-hmm. the nuns, the dioceses that are really the change agents in these countries, providing not just the water for our bodies, but water for their souls. So this is a big step out, and we're hoping that people join us and help to change people's lives forever. For just, I think it's $23 a person, you can provide water for life.
Wow. So why Zambia and Malawi? Let's talk about the situations there that prompted your involvement.
Yes. Well, as you know, we work in many different countries in any given year, about 33 to 36 different countries, and we provide long-term support. So we can really see the impact that water is having. Every 22 seconds, a child dies from the lack of water. And so we really have felt called as a ministry overall to support water. But looking at Zambia, 43% of all the villages, the rural villages, 43% of the people do not have water. And in Malawi, one out of three water points don't even work that have been built. And each little child is six times more likely than our children to not make it to their first birthday. And waterborne diseases is number one. So we wanted to focus on that and really impact the communities of these two countries. We still are providing in other areas as well, but this is one of our big campaigns.
So how does this work when you donate? Where does the money go so people know how it's actually being applied?
Great question. At Cross Catholic Outreach, 94% goes towards our programs. So you can feel confident in giving to us when you give, and if you give through this program and you say, I want to join the campaign, I want to be able to be a part of it, that gift is put towards the water campaigns. And then we have long-term partnerships with these various leaders in Zambia, bishops, and Malawi, and we send it out to them so that the water's built. It's not just build a well and leave. Long-term relationships are important. Isn't that what our faith teaches us? And so we come alongside of these communities early on and help them as they form water communities, as people learn, the proper way to wash their hands and cook the food, as the land is surveyed, and the crews then drill the rigs. So it's a long-term kind of community effort, so everyone is involved in it.
It's something different for you, this type of a magnitude, is it not?
It is. God is really calling us to grow. And you know, last year every year, we always do have a focus on water. But this is a big, big challenge. It's a challenge for us, too, to say, okay, we're going to commit. We're going to do this. But I know that so many Catholics believe in providing the basic needs. I mean, Matthew 25, of course, inspires us, right?
Mm-hmm.
For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it changes everything because we come into these communities and try to help with many different programs, schools, home building, education. But Teresa, the first thing that's needed in every area besides our faith and the church that's already there is water. Because girls are the water carriers of the world. Have you ever seen the girls with the big buckets? That weighs 40 pounds. They could work, they could walk for like 9 hours, nine miles to get this water that oftentimes isn't even clean. So by providing water, you are giving hope to children, specifically women and girls that are the water carriers of the world, to be able to have an education, to be able to have hope, and to be able to know that their children and their children's children will not experience getting water out of a murky pit that looks like, you know, a cloud of just yuck and green and yellow, with animals all around also using the water. This is life-changing.
We're talking with Michelle Sangrino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, crosscatholic.org, talking about their Wells of Salvation. So it just seems so something out of the movies, or something that we don't even think is happening anymore. You know, so far-fetched, because it's so far from us being a first world country and having any type of really understanding of what that's like in certain parts of the world.
Oh, you are so right. As a mother or a father or a grandmother, can you imagine your child needs water? You can't go without water for, what, more than 3 or 4 days? Your child needs water. You go to provide it, but you don't know if that very water that you walked all those hours is going to end up making your child sicker.
Sick, right.
So, you know, it's hard. It's so hard to imagine. We have hurricanes in this area where our office, our ministry, is located in Florida. Everyone runs to get water, but we know that we can have it. It's the basic. People all around the world in developing countries will often ask, or I should say our missionaries, for food to be delivered to schools, right? So that kids come to school. In many countries in Africa, they come to school for water. A water well might be placed in the Catholic school in that community, and they come to school for water. I mean, it's unimaginable, right? It's unimaginable. But it can, you can change this very easily, one community, one person at a time, by going to our website, as you mentioned, crosscatholic.org, and you will see our Wells of Salvation water challenge there. You could participate. Also, we're asking schools, you know, we're coming to Holy Week, but all through Lent, we were asking schools to participate, and to we had a Lenten activity guide that the children can really learn. Just what you said, the difference between here and what we take as normal life to other countries, and just weaving in our faith with different activities. So that is also available online.
You know what's important about this, too, and again, we're talking with Michelle Sangrino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, crosscatholic.org, about their Wells of Salvation program. When you're getting younger people here, or anybody really, but especially if you want to form people correctly, you get them involved in understanding how to really practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And that's eye-opening, I think. And even if you, I've seen this happen, for example, just from taking some students from our own parish, let's say a soup kitchen in Detroit, and they're meeting with people who don't have everything that they have, and they may have never been exposed to that, and their hearts are changed on the spot. So this is a way of the faith becoming very real, I think.
Oh, I do too. Very hands-on. Our mission statement is to mobilize the global Catholic Church to transform the poor in their communities materially and spiritually for the glory of Jesus Christ. That mobilization is here as well, just like you said. It's important to us to be a partner with parishes and the Catholic schools around the United States to give them materials to share this need for preference of the poor, to come alongside and help and to understand it and feel it, right? What we see, even if it's from a video that's shared in a school or a pamphlet, what we hear about from the teachers, what we hear about during homilies across the United States, that impacts the youth. That impacts, and we see a thirst for this. We see a thirst across our church for the youth to really want to be involved in a hands-on way and to understand the needs of others.
Yeah, it's so important. One last question. We have about 3 minutes left, and I think this is crucial as well, because you've mentioned that you're working alongside the church, and so you're working alongside the local church. It's aware of the circumstances, because every day in the news, I'm reporting about a crisis here, a crisis there, and sometimes in particular areas, such as Zimbabwe's Malawi, where you're going to be, or other places, there can be chaos on the ground. There could be gangs. There could be violence. So without a local person or group helping you target, okay, how are we going to do this practically? Are we going to be able to do this? You know, that's got to be a big concern, and that's why it's so important to connect locally, correct?
Oh, most definitely. We really we started this model when we began in 2001, and it's really part of Catholic social teaching, subsidiarity. The people that are closest to the need, the people that are living in the communities. So all of our programs would come alongside bishops, priests, nuns, Catholic lay missionaries. They know. And we don't go in and say, you should be doing this.
Right. I was just going to say that. Okay, here's our idea. Let's listen to us. We know what we're doing. Meanwhile, on the ground, it's an entirely different situation, right?
Amen. You know it. And so we are able to build these partnerships in which we say, we're here. I just was speaking to a bishop in Guatemala. We are here for the long haul. You tell us what your needs are. Let us come alongside. And we work in, as you know, probably 10 different program areas, water being very critical, housing, education, microfinance, disaster relief, so many different areas, which can allow a real strategic plan to come from these brilliant leaders of where they want to go. Some of the best leaders I have ever met in the world, and all that they need are funds to get this work of love and mercy to their communities. And while they're doing this, people are seeing, like this one, a little girl, Vanessa, a young woman, I shouldn't say a little girl, her dad had passed away and in Malawi. And so her mom's name is Happy. And, you know, a lot of times when a father passes away, I mean, it can really mean a dire strait for the family. And because the community had been working together with the church, with the diocese, they were surrounded by faith-filled individuals. They actually both received communion in 2021. And then in 2022, they received a well in their village. And this has really transformed Vanessa's life. Not just here, but eternally, right? Wow. So there's so many beautiful examples of love that the local diocese through Caritas, right? That's their social outreach. Really are able to accomplish. It's wonderful to watch God work, and it's a big goal, 109 wells. But I really believe that together we don't want to see children suffering from illness.
Well, and I think what you're doing, which is super important, which why I think it's so important to put your ministry out there, is you're making these problems, Michelle, that seem insurmountable. And we're like, okay, we're all the way over here in the United States. How in the world can we even make a difference or make a dent? But you're making it possible. And so really, it's really appreciated. And what a beautiful message as we go into Holy Week. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I was going to talk to you also about the whole spiritual significance of wells of salvation, because there's a whole water and, you know, Jesus thirsting for us, and we could talk for hours. We'll have to have you back on to find out an update on this. Again, we've been chatting with Michelle Sangrino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach. More information on their beautiful program, Wells of Salvation, check it out, crosscatholic.org. It is a Thursday. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Friday as we move into, believe it or not, beautiful Palm Sunday weekend. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1996. EWTN launches EWTN.com, one of the first Catholic websites in the world. In the late 1990s, it becomes one of the first entities in the world to do video streaming over the internet.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
Thanks for tuning in on a Thursday. Tomorrow on a Friday, we will have the Inside Word with our very own Doug Keck. Great programming. If you're going to watch TV during Holy Week, we're the ones to watch because it's holy television, right? Doug will tell us all about it. Tomorrow, Fact Check Friday, of course, and then I'm so excited. A dear friend of mine, I've known her for years. She's based in Michigan, southeastern Michigan, originally from the South. Sister JoJo, we call her. Sister Joseph Andrew with the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and she is just delightful. She's so informed. She's a writer. She's a speaker. She's a theologian. She's an amazing sister, sister in the Lord, but also religious sister, of course. She's going to be one of the speakers at the Good News Cruise in 2025, goodnewscruise.com. You can check it out. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you, God willing, tomorrow on a Friday. A domani. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.